بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue in this session to discuss another individual who we have a particular position concerning, one that has made statements that oppose the methodology of the Salaf of this Ummah and has made a number of statements that indicate the ضعف and the weakness of the methodology and the manhaj al-salafi in his da'wah. And that is the position that we have concerning the individual known as Shadeed Muhammad. As far as Shadeed Muhammad is concerned, then he's made a number of statements that indicate his da'af in ilm, da'af in knowledge, and in particular da'af and weakness in the methodology and the manhaj of the salaf of this ummah. From the statements that we mention and that we will mention in this session, and as we said, Ikhwan, these are just snippets. Of course, each and every one of these individuals, we could establish a number of sittings concerning analyzing their statements. Well, these are just snippets. From these statements, in any case, statement of Shadeed Muhammad, wherein he mentions concerning Salafiyya, this is a statement, Ikhwan, that our scholars have heard and are extremely displeased with. In fact, that from them are those who have referred to it as a statement of kufr. And that is the statement of Shadeed Muhammad, that Salafiyya is not a bitaqa, it is not a card that will enter you into Jannah.
Salafiyya is not a card that's going to get you into Jannah.
The statement of his Sheikh and Sheikh Ubaid, he responds to the statement by saying,
بَلْ يَجِبُ مِنْهُ الْحَذَرُ.
He starts by saying, first and foremost, it is wajib to be cautious of this individual, yani to stay away from him.
وَمِنْ تِلْكَ الْمَلْحُوظَاتِ الْكَثِيرَةِ.
Because of these malhuzat, because of these observations, and from these many observations we have, these observations that indicate the jahl and the ignorance of the man, and the corrupt nature of his manhaj, the corrupt nature of his methodology, his statement that Salafiyya is not a bitaka or a card that will enter you into Jannah. Sheikh said that this is a statement of kufr. Because Salafiyya is the pure deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Salafiyya is the pure deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's a statement of kufr. And it is exactly the same as a person saying Islam is not what is going to get you into Jannah. Or Islam is not a card that's gonna get you into Jannah. He said it is tawheed. It is the pure sharia. It is the pure sharia that Allah Azza wa Jal sent all of the Nabiyeen, all of the prophets and the messengers with. From Nuh, the first of them, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and the seal of them. And that statement then is one that we should reflect upon, because he mentions it indicates his da'af in the methodology, da'af in the manhaj. In fact, another one of the observations that we have upon him is his displeasure with our even referring to being upon the manhaj. He mentions, Ikhwan, in a statement that is attributed to him, the statement that he made, that I'm sick of hearing people saying, I'm upon the manhaj. I'm sick of this. Again, ikhwan, if we understand the fact that the manhaj and the methodology is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the same as saying, I'm sick of hearing people saying, I'm upon Islam. I'm sick of this. Again, ikhwan, for those of you who didn't hear that. And we hear people saying, I am upon the minhaj of the Salaf. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Wallahi, I am so tired of hearing people make that statement. I'm upon the minhaj of the Salaf. I'm on the minhaj of the Salaf. We need to put the statement on pause.
And then evaluate yourself in the minhaj of the Salaf, and then really see if you are worthy of making that statement.
And evaluate yourself in relation to the minhaj of the Salaf and see if you're worthy of making the statement. And so that is, of course, similar to the statement that those individuals saying, I'm upon Islam, I'm a Muslim, or I'm upon the Sunnah. Or people saying, I'm upon Salafiyya. And the Ikhwani particularly, and it's ordinarily the Ikhwan, who will say, how dare you? How dare you say that you're upon the way of the Salaf? How dare you attribute yourself to them, this noble generation? How dare you? Which indicates the jahl of the one who says that. The one who says, I'm upon the way of the Salaf and I'm upon the manhaj of the Salaf. Ya'ani, this is what I am striving to be upon. There is no issue with making that statement, I'm upon the methodology of the Salaf. Because it is obvious that no man is completely upon Islam in its totality. There is no individual that walks in our time that can say, I am completely upon Islam. So naturally, when a person says, I am upon Islam, I am upon the Sunnah, I am upon the manhaj, the meaning of that statement is that I am striving upon that way. That is my ascription. What is it that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned? لا عيب على من أظهر مذهب السلف وانتسب إليه واعتزى إليه بل يجب قبول ذلك منه باتفاق فإن مذهب السلف لا يكون إلا حقا. He said, it is wajib, compulsory, to make manifest the madhab of the Salaf, to make manifest the way and the position and the orientation of the Salaf. La aib, there is no aib, there's no blemish upon the one who makes that present, makes that apparent. He affiliates himself to it and he attributes himself to it. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, بَلْ يَجِبُ قَبُولُ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ بِاتِّفَاقِ. It is wajib to accept that from him by consensus of the scholars, for indeed the madhab of the Salaf is nothing but the haqq. يَأْتِ هَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ وَيَقُولْ I am sick, this miskeen says, I'm tired of hearing people saying, I'm upon the manhaj of the Salaf. I'm tired of hearing this. يَقُولْ عَجِيب. For one who loves the da'wah, loves the sunnah, loves salafiyya, how could you possibly be tired to hear brothers feel proud to say that I'm upon the manhaj of the salaf? Because we naturally know that none of those brothers are saying I'm upon it in its complete manner, in its complete form. Nobody would make that statement. So anybody who says, I am upon Islam, obviously is saying, this is my way. This is my orientation. I am trying to remain upon this. I am upon the Sunnah. This is my way. This is my orientation. I am trying to remain upon this. I am upon the methodology of the Salaf. This is my way. This is my orientation. I'm trying to remain upon this. But here this man says, that the one who makes that statement, I'm sick of hearing it, we have to evaluate ourselves, kate wa kate. And this is, of course, nothing but an indication of the naza'a, ikhwaniyya that he has within him. And thus, Shaykhana, Shaykh Ubaid, made the statement that he made concerning him. The Shaykh, he made, when he made that statement, The Sheikh, he responded with that which is strong, that which is firm in relation to him. And he mentions that this individual is without doubt Dalun Mudil, that he, because of this statement and many other statements that he has made, يعني, that he is Dalun Mudil, that is, that he is a person who is astray, leading others astray. He's astray, leading others astray. And there is no doubt, Ikhwan, that the one who looks at these statements, he and is familiar with the methodology of the Salaf, he would know, Ikhwan, that that is without doubt the case. So he said, this is a statement of Sheikh Ubaid, that whomsoever belittles Salafiyya and pays it no concern or little concern, does not make it a foundation in his da'wah, he's either a jahil or astray, leading others astray. Astray, leading others astray. Listen to another one of his statements. Ikhwan, the da'wah to Salafiyya, for those of you who possibly didn't hear this, he mentions, and we'll mention the statement slowly. And of course, it's a statement of ridicule. Salafiyya is not determined by how harsh you are with people. Again, which indicates clearly that he has the same orientation of all these people who say that the Salafis are harsh, the Salafis are shadeed, that the Salafis are tough, and the Salafis believe that everything has to be harsh. Anyway, we continue. Your Salafiyya is determined by your level of ibadah, your level of worship, and your closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is determined by your level of ibadah, your closeness, and your worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is, the stronger you are in ibadah, according to Shadid Muhammad, the stronger you are upon Salafiyya. The stronger you are in ibadah, the stronger you are upon Salafiyya. And this, again, Ikhwan, is an indication of the da'f and the weakness in terms of his understanding of the methodology and the manhaj. That is not to belittle the affair of ibadah, of course not. When we look at our salaf, no doubt they were people of ibadah and ilm. But are you telling me that the jahil who barely knows the ABC of Salafiyya and of the methodology, but is a staunch worshipper, has a better station than that alim who is mutamakkin and who is firm and strong in the knowledge of the sunnah and of Salafiyya, and he teaches that and enjoins the good and forbids the evil, but is not as staunch in worship as that jahil, ignorant person? You're telling me that that alim is on a lower level than him, and that individual is on a higher level than that alim? Billahi alaykum.
Has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that you can admonish this one and advise this one and give nasiha to that one.
Your Salafiyya has nothing to do with the fact that you can advise this one and admonish that one and give nasiha to that one. Nothing. Your Salafiyya has nothing to do with that. Even though it is a da'wah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said concerning it, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best nation sent forward from among mankind. You enjoin the good, you forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. يَأْتِ هَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ وَيَقُولِ. This has got nothing to do with your Salafiyya. That doesn't increase you in your Salafiyya in the eyesight of Allah. Yani the fact that you enjoin the good and forbid the evil, The Salaf of this Ummah used to refer to the one who enjoins the good and forbids the evil and makes refutation against Ahl al-Bid'ah, that he was a Mujahid in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. But here, this has got nothing as far as he's concerned. Nothing. Well, it doesn't raise you in any way. It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. This enjoying the good and forbidding of the evil. Yet, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَن مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Cursed indeed were the children of Israel upon the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam, and those who disbelieve from the children of Israel upon the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam. That was because of the fact that they were sinful and went beyond bounds. They did not used to prohibit each other of the evil that they used to do. Allah mentions that that caused them to be cursed. Yet still, as far as he's concerned, enjoying the good and forbidding the evil doesn't raise you in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or about the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَأْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِي ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ وَلَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ. That indeed you should enjoin the good and forbid the evil, or Allah Azza wa Jal is soon to send a punishment from himself, and then you would call upon him and he will not respond to you. Yet still, as far as he's concerned, in quote, enjoin the good and forbid the evil, it has got no bearing. So just your worship and desire. That is your desire to see the slaves of Allah excel. That is the only thing that will give you any rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the only thing. Another one of the issues that we have with him is him calling to, or at the very least, showing agreement with the various calls of Wihdatul Adyan, the calls of the dialogue between the Adyan, between the varying religions. Listen to his statement.
How you go sit at a table with someone and you don't even know your own religion and you call it interfaith dialogue? What interfaith dialogue? It's not interfaith dialogue, it's da'wah. They're giving you da'wah.
So he starts by mentioning, how are you going to sit with other religions, talking about you giving interfaith da'wah, interfaith dialogue, and you don't know your deen? You can't do interfaith dialogue if you don't know your deen. They're giving you da'wah.
You go sit at a table with a group of Christians or Jews or people from other faiths, and you don't know anything about your religion, and you call yourself sitting at the table with them to come to a commonality,
So the goal is coming to a commonality.
Identify the commonalities in your religion and their religion.
So again, yani this, the intent behind this interfaith dialogue is to come to a commonality, Jamil.
And you don't know the commonalities in your religion. Essentially, they are giving you da'wah.
But you don't know the commonalities. Essentially, they're giving you da'wah.
That's exactly what happens. And they lose respect for you. Anyone from another religion will lose respect for you when they see that you don't have any ground to stand on as it relates to your own religion. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala tabassama ibtisama al-wathiq billahi jalla wa ala. Hasan al-Basri smiled, the type of smile that a man makes when he knows he has a confidence in his religion. Here again, being confident in your religion. For all of those of us who want to engage in interfaith dialogue and sit at the table with people from other faiths, which is all good, but know your religion first.
So after mentioning that Hassan al-Basri smiled with the smile of a man that was confident with his religion, he goes on to mention, all of you, all of us then who want to participate in this interfaith dialogue, it's all good and well, but just know your deen first. Just know your deen first. And this then establishing clearly his inclination and his agreement with these interfaith dialogues and coming to a commonality with the various adyan, the various forms of deen. And what is ajib is that he is from the first of those who claim that the students, any the people and the brothers who are upon the sunnah, that they're weak students, and you'll hear it when you hear them recite the Quran, or that they'll give a lecture and their notes are in front of them and they're looking at the notes the whole time, or they're academically weak and so on. And ikhwan, this was just one lecture. The whole lecture, Shadeed Muhammad looking down at his notes. And even when looking down at his notes, we hear all type of akhta, all type of mistakes. Mistakes in the recitation of the Quran, mistakes in the reading of the Arabic, dha'f in his reading of the Arabic, for example.
He said, أَمَّا السَّبْعَ أَلَّتِي لَا ثَامِنْ لَهَا السَّبْعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا
And this is him looking at the notes. This is with him looking at the notes. Yeah, he's not from the top of his head, which you would assume after you yourself made the statement that these brothers can't deliver a lecture except by looking at, or except through looking at notes. Even though there isn't an issue with that. Even from Ahfaz Khalqillah, from those who were the greatest in memorizing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the likes of Imam Ahmad wouldn't deliver a lecture except that he had notes in front of him. But here you are looking down at your notes and still making these akhta, or making akhta and errors in recitation of verses that you should know.
He said, وَأَمَّا الثَّمَانِيَ الَّذِينَ لَا تَاسِيَ لَهُمْ هُمْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَ
وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَ فَأُقَاهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَ. Another ayah in Surah Baqarah.
He said, وَالْإِثْنَى عَشْرَ أَلَّتِي لَا ثَالِثَ عَشْرَ لَهُمْ هُمْ هِيَ مُعْجِزَ سَيِّدَ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَإِذْ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَ عَيْنًا.
And so again, qira'a that yatata'ata, yet still, and the only point that we're making, we're not saying that a person can't make any mistakes with reciting a verse, but you who are so critical of the other tulab, or referring to them as weak students, weak academically, yet we see all types of dha'f and all types of weakness in your presentation of the likes of this madha. In fact, the whole lecture was built upon something that has no asl. The whole lecture was built upon a dialogue with Hassan al-Basri and a Christian priest. The story has no origin whatsoever, no isnad. The story has no isnad. Yet the whole lecture is built upon a story that has no isnad. And it has in it munkar. Any oppositions to what is established in the Book of Allah or in the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which again is gharib and ajib, considering you are the one that has this strong position against the other students. Yani, because of course you are the one that is, in terms of academia, far superior to them. They are much weaker than you. And you'll find all of these varying errors and issues with them when they deliver, when they address, when they whether give sermon or durus or what have you, because they were weak. Nah, they were weak. MashaAllah. But here you are narrating a qissa, a story that has no asl, no origin, and other errors, other blatant errors that we find from you. I remember him quoting a statement, attributing it to Imam Ahmad, saying that Imam Ahmad said about Ibn Hazm that I used to think that he had an intellect. MashaAllah. كيف ذلك يا شديد. When Imam Ahmad died in the year 241. Ibn Hazm died in the year 384 or thereabouts. How then would Ahmad say about him that I used to think that he had an intellect when he lived close to 100 years after him? How could Ahmad make that statement? As I say, it's ajeeb. Another one of the issues that we hear from Shadid.
The signs of a Muhammadi in his face is the light, the nur that comes, that emanates from the face because of making wudu, because of making much sujood. Even Christians can tell that there's something about you. It's not about your dress, it's not about your beard, it's not about any of these other trivial matters that we put so much emphasis on.
Again, it's not about your dress, it's not about your beard, it's not about these trivial matters, your dress and your lihya. It's not about these trivial matters, yaqul.
It's not about your dress, it's not about your beard, it's not about any of these other trivial matters that we put so much emphasis on. It's the nur, it's the light that emanates from the face.
Inshallah. So it's not about the dress, not about the beard. This is any tantamount, or this is bordering Sufiya. It's not about your dress, it's not about your beard, but it's about the nur that is in your face.
Even Christians can tell that there's something about you. It's not about your dress, it's not about your beard, it's not about any of these other trivial matters that we put so much emphasis on. It's the nur, it's the light that emanates from the face. He said, I can tell he's a Muhammadi, but looking at the signs or the traces of his religion in his face.
By looking at his face. But even, ikhwan, as it relates to the asl of the methodology, naturally, the asl and the origin of our methodology is clinging to the path of the Salaf. And clinging to the path of the Salaf revolves around a person referring to himself by way of that reference, and we mentioned the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, yani that a person who understands the methodology of the Salaf, he will have no issue referring to himself as Salafi, clinging to it. Listen to the statement of Shadid Muhammad in relation to that.
So when Hassan al-Basri entered into the church, the preacher or the pastor, he turned and he looked, or the priest, he looked and he saw Hassan al-Basri. And he said to them, to the congregation, that I cannot give you a lesson today while there is among you a Muhammadi. So that's what they used to call Muslims, a follower of Muhammad, Muhammadi. And today we call ourselves everything other than Muslim. Shi'i, Sufi, Salafi, Fulani, Fulani, Fulani.
So this Christian who said, I'm not going to give you a lesson because there's a Muhammadi in the room, as though that is a reference and a title that we accept, that we are to be referred to as Muhammadis. In any case, even the Christian, he claims, and listen to the statement.
To them, to the congregation, that I cannot give you a lesson today while there is among you a Muhammadi. That's what they used to call Muslims, a follower of Muhammad, Muhammadi. And today we call ourselves everything other than Muslim. Shi'ite, Sufi, Salafi, Fulani.
Shi'ite, Sufi, Salafi. It mentions that, ikhwan, all in one statement. Shi'ite, Sufi, Salafi. We call ourselves all types of stuff. And billahi alaykum, is this the statement and the speech and the kalam of the Salafi? We call ourselves all types of statements today. Shiite, Sufi, Salafi. Even though Muhammadi, the term, was a term that the Kufar used to use, some of them would use it, believing that we worship Muhammad. Yet today, we call ourselves all types of names. Shiite, Sufi, Salafi.
Fulani, Fulani. Hanafi, Hanbali. We call ourselves so many other things. Even Christians knew that the only name for a Muslim was Muhammadi, the follower of Muhammad.
Muhammadi. And who then from our Ummah refers to the people of Sunnah and deen as Muhammadi from our ummah. Ikhwan, these statements are sarahatan ajaib. Ajaib. And these, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, these are just dips in the ocean. These are just bits and bobs. For any individual that wishes tafsil and detail, then of course, Ikhwan, there is much for you to return back to by way of articles, by way of references to really see what it is or why we're making these issues, the issues that we make, why we make them. And so again, who is correct? Are they correct with these issues? Or are we? Mufti Muhammad, another one. And Ikhwan, time doesn't permit us to deal with all of these individuals one by one in detail, but we mention again just some statements. Ikhwan, from the greatest of those who are to be honored and to be respected are the people of knowledge, our ulama. The people of knowledge, ayyuhal ikhwa, the Prophet ﷺ said concerning them, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. He is not from us, the one who does not give honor to our elders and show mercy to our young ones and knows the rights of the alim. He's not from us. Listen to the statement of Mufti Muhammad concerning our scholars.
Sadness, unfortunately, lost souls. So that's what I was going to guide us all. And it makes people who learn and teach our people, and not getting caught up in this and that and flan and flanner. Know for sure, Yahi, this person, this scholar, does not care about you or your country.
Again, we should learn and teach our people, not get caught up in this and that one and this, such and such and such, him and him, and he say, she say, yani. Which is again typical rhetoric from those who have this tamyir. Because he say, or her, this one said, and that one said, and he said, and that one opposed. This is an issue that is from our deen. We don't speak against it. As far as those who go into excesses, or those who go into or go beyond bounds, or those who are negligent, then yes, we have an issue and we speak against either their extremism in relation to it or their negligence. But to speak out against talking about individuals and clarifying the haqq in relation to them, then that is to speak against the manhaj of the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about individuals in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about individuals in the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran that this is one of the goals of the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Indeed, Allah mentions that thus do we make the verses and the ayat clear, and so that the path of the mujrimeen, the path of the wrongdoers, will be made clear. That is the Quran itself. And so here we have this individual saying,
you say whatever you want without no sugar, it's raw. He does not stay up at night.
It's the haqq, say whatever you want without any sugar, it's raw. He doesn't stay up at night concerning himself with you.
If you have problems in your urban community, they don't care about what's going on in New York City.
They don't care about what's going on in New York City. Billahi, I ask you, Ikhwan, by Allah, here is an individual that's supposed to have taken from the scholars, Yaqul, as he claims. And so if we're going to learn the etiquette and the mannerisms and having honor and respect and love for the ulama, we're going to learn it from our students. Alaysa kadhalik? Isn't that the case, Ikhwan? What honor and respect are we going to learn for the alim when our students speak about them in this manner?
You say whatever you want without no sugar, it's raw. He does not stay up at night. If you have problems in your urban community, he doesn't care about what's going on in New York City. So why you?
But if we were to say, Mufti Muhammad don't give a damn about you, Mufti Muhammad don't give a damn about you and your community, Mufti Muhammad don't care about, you know, he's not going to lose any sleep over you and what's going on in your community. Muslim Mufti Muhammad, I know him, he don't care. He doesn't care. If we were to make that statement, you would have not only Mufti Muhammad responding, you would have all of his YouTube fans making videos in defense of Mufti Muhammad and how people have misconstrued his statements or how people are speaking ill of him. And if it were Mufti, these statements were made against. But he can say them about the ulama of the ummah, no problem.
So concerned and caught up and obsessed with the community. He doesn't care about what's going on in New York City. So why are you so concerned and caught up and obsessed what goes on in Jordan or Egypt or Saudi or Yemen? That doesn't make any sense.
So why are you concerned about what's going on in Jordan, Egypt, Saudi and Yemen? And forget about these issues. Forget about such and such is being spoken against. Forget about such and such a bid'ah that may have rise over there. Forget about all of this. Why are you concerned with that? They don't care about us. Ikhwan, you need to understand and look at what is taking place here. You are being disconnected from your marji'iyah. You're being disconnected from your source of your returning, your reference point. You're being disconnected, Ikhwan. They don't care about us, but we have a new crew of qualified academics, shuyukh, muftis, all of them have exactly the same as that which the Arab shuyukh have. So they don't care about you anyway, but we do. We look after you, and we have we're as skilled. They believe in their miskeen minds, or the juhal that pump them up and raise them to the level of people of knowledge. That they have the ability and the same criteria and skill set as our ulama. So forget about the ulama, they don't even care about you anyway.
He's not missing his morning tea and breakfast because of the major social ills in Vestine, New York. Know that for sure.
He's not going to miss his tea, he's not going to miss his breakfast because of our problems.
He does not miss his coffee and dates because of single-parent homes and crack babies. This is a reality. This is not a joke. This is real. So if that's the case, then how can you spend all of your time, your energy, and your effort on overseas in the Middle East and neglect the real problems in your community that are dead smack in your face? May Allah help us all. Ameen.
No, Masjid, Ameen. Listen to how شيخنا الشيخ عبد الله البخاري responds to this statement. He starts by mentioning that indeed you have turned and you have showed your mashaykh your backs. You've turned your backs to them. Those who are the greatest of the people in giving you advice. And they have advised you due to deen. There is no connection of wealth or anything else between you. Is not true. You've come to them. They advise you, lillah, for the sake of Allah. You come to them for the sake of Allah. And they give to you that which they're pleased with for their own selves, based upon religion and deen. There is no lineage between the scholars and our brothers over there. There is no lineage. No wealth, no connection of wealth, no connection of lineage. The connection is the sunnah and knowledge. The Salafis in America are like the Salafis in Siberia. And this statement, Ikhwan, is something that needs to be understood, because again, this is another push. This is another area that we're being pushed along or down the road of. Our situation is different. Our situation, no one can really understand it other than someone that comes from here. Therefore, yani the natija and the outcome of that is, forget about everybody else, because nobody really understands what's going on here. Nobody can give us a real scholarly opinion about what takes place here. Again, an attempt to disconnect you. So the Salafis in America, like the Salafis in Holland, or like the Salafis in Nigeria, and like the Salafis in Ghana, and like the Salafis in the Caucasus, all of them are one. What we advise you with in America, it is what we advised the brothers a few days ago in Holland. And it is what we have advised the brothers in Tajikistan and the brothers from Uzbekistan. It's the same thing. We don't differ. And that is because, ikhwan, those communities of Salafis, their manhaj, their methodology is one. As far as the issues that they face within those varying countries, then there are different issues, they're different countries. But as far as the approach, as far as what they should be doing, as far as how they should be advised, then the Salafis are one body. But of course, that is something that you're being warned against right now. We don't want to be a cult, do we? Because this is deen. This is deen, ikhwan. These mashaykh and these scholars who advise you and they're ardent upon advising you, they don't want any reward, neither do they want any shakur. They don't want any reward, neither do they want any thanks from you. They want for you and for the people of that that land that the affairs remain upright upon the sunnah, and that things remain upon that which is correct. And that then, ikhwan, is a clear indication of the fact that the scholars of the sunnah and their advice and the people of the sunnah across the globe are in one or upon one body. They are one group. They are upon one manhaj. And this speaking ill of the scholars is intentional, ikhwan. Don't believe that there isn't any intent behind this affair. Don't believe that there is no goal that is being sought here. But understand that this is from the usul of our deen, or ulama as-salaf. من السابقين ومن بعدهم من التابعين أهل الخير والأثر وأهل الفقه والنظر لا يذكرون إلا بالجميل ومن ذكرهم بسوء فهو على غير سبيل. As an Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, that the ulama of the Salaf, from the Sabiqeen, from the early ones, the past ones, and those who came after them, from the Tabi'een, from those who followed, Ahlul Fiqh wal Nadhar, Ahlul Khayri wal Athar, the people of good and narrations, people of good, Ahlul Fiqh, Ahlul Khayri wal Athar, the people of Khayr and Athar, وأهل الفقه والنظر, and the people of fiqh and nazar and analysis. لا يذكرون إلا بالجميل. They are not to be mentioned except with that which is beautiful. ومن ذكرهم بسوء فهو على غير سبيل. And whosoever mentions them with سوء, whosoever mentions them with evil, then he is upon other than the path. Whoever mentions them with evil, he is upon other than the path. And of course, ikhwan, Mufti Muhammad, there are other balaya and other calamities that have come from him, like his statement that jarh wa ta'dil is a science that is not used or not to be implemented in our time, and it is restricted to riwaya or kama qal. These statements, all of them are indicative of dha'af, ikhwan. Dha'af, weakness in understanding the methodology, weakness in implementation of the methodology. And we see that all of these individuals, all of them are united upon this tamyir. And this tamyir, or this weakening of the manhaj, it has a similar manifestation with all of them. weakness in tackling innovation, weakness in dealing with the people of innovation, cutting the people from the scholars, referring or having themselves being the reference points, yani weakening the clinging to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, turning away, turning the people away from Tawheed and calling and focusing upon Tawheed. As Shadeed mentions, Tawheed, Tawheed, Tawheed. And as though these are the things that are going to rectify our societies. Turning towards the affairs related to societal ills, which is a typical Ikhwani way. And before you know it, Ayyuhal Ikhwa, then you will be side by side with the people of innovation, whether in your masajid or in your organizations, that you'll have a differing position and a different stance in relation to them, and social issues. Yeah, these people were having you wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts before you know it. Ayyuhal Ikhwa, the path of Ahlul Sunnah is a path that has to be protected from this foolishness. And you may say that these are brothers that are doing good and so on. Ikhwan, as good as they may be doing, and Allah knows best, the sunnah, ayyuhal ikhwan, the haqq, is more beloved to us than any one of them, or all of them put together. And we'll round up on that note. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.